Good evening, everyone. My name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at North Shore Alliance Church, and we're just delighted that you've decided to spend a part of your Christmas Eve with us here at the church. Tonight, as I begin a very short sermon, I want to begin with a question, and it's this. When you hear the word Christmas, what is it that comes to your mind? Now, I recognize that there's all kinds of different thoughts that may be coming to you. For some, it's immediately you go to the friends and family, the people in this world that you hold most dear. Others of you are thinking about that eggnog latte at Starbucks that's only here for a short season. For others of you, it's Christmas lights and trees and Christmas baking, the parties, and of course, who could forget about Christmas presents? What I want you to do just for a moment is I want you to call to mind the best Christmas present you ever got and the person who gave it to you. Okay, so I want you to think about the best Christmas present you ever got and the person who gave it to you. Now, every Christmas, there's these exchange of presents. It's become a part of the holiday tradition. But I wonder how many of you actually know why or how this gift-giving at Christmas came to be. Now, most of us know the story of Santa, but what you may not know is the story of Santa is actually rooted in a historical person who was born in the 3rd century in the Greek-speaking part of the world. His name was Nicholas. Nicholas was born in the 3rd century to Christian parents in what is now southern Turkey, and when Nicholas was a young man, both of his parents suddenly and very tragically died. And they left Nicholas with a significant inheritance. And as Nicholas thought about what to do with all of this newfound wealth, he remembered the words of Jesus, to sell all that you have and give to the poor. And so he took his entire inheritance and he spent it assisting the poor, the sick, and the suffering. And from that day on, he dedicated his life to serving God and people in his city. Now, in the years that followed, story after story started emerging about the generosity of this Saint Nicholas. For example, the stories told of a poor man who had 3 daughters. And back in Nicholas's day, a young woman's father had to offer a dowry to a prospective husband in order for the young woman to be married. If no such dowry was provided, they were very unlikely to be married. In the case of this poor man, there was no hope of a dowry, and because of his economic difficulties, the time came when he was needing to sell his daughters into slavery just to make things work. And on the very night before the sale was to take place, a gold bag was thrown in the window. And 2 more times over the course of this man's life, bags of gold were tossed in through the open window, and they're said to have landed in the stockings or the shoes that were hung by the fire to dry. And this led to the custom of children tacking up their stockings right by the fire in hopes that next year at Christmas time, St. Nicholas would visit with a gift. Now, in the spirit of Christmas, in the spirit of St. Nicholas, I've actually brought a gift with me. Unfortunately, there's no gold in here. I can promise you that. But I wonder if there's any children here tonight who would like an early Christmas present. Yeah, I see a couple hands. In fact, I see a hand up there. Is that Max? Come on down, bud. Come on down. He's happy he came to church today, I think. Just wait for him to calm down. When it comes to Christmas, I think all of us know that receiving a gift, delighting in the gift, isn't all there is to it. There's something so much more. I think over the next couple days, many of you are going to give and receive gifts. Some of them are going to be very practical. Some of them are going to be fun and completely unnecessary. Come on up, Max. So, Max, can you tell everyone how old you are?
9.
You're 9 years old. And what do you hope that Mom and Dad are getting you for Christmas this year?
I don't know.
You don't know? No. There's nothing that you want this year?
I know.
Mom and Dad, I guess you can bring all the presents back. Do you want to see what's in here?
Sure.
Why don't you open it up? I'll take a look. Mom and Dad, it's what every kid needs on the night before Christmas. candy and chocolate. That's basically, you know, wind them up, give them back to mom and dad and send them home. Merry Christmas, Max. Glad you're here today. As you give presents to one another over the next couple days, some of them are going to be intensely practical gifts, things that you just need. Other things are going to be fun and completely unnecessary. And some of you are going to receive that gift that is the culmination of a long hoped for present. But when it comes to the practice of gift giving, as we all know, there's so much more to it than simply delighting in the gift. Because attached to every gift is a giver, right? And every gift is the extension of relationship. It's the extension of love. Giving is about addition. It's never about subtraction. Giving adds to another person's life. It always enlarges the person who receives it. The power of a gift is in its sincere desire to bless another person, whether they've earned it or not. Love is not something that can be contained and kept to oneself. Love is so much more than a word on a page. Real love always seeks concrete expression. Love demands action. To give a gift is to express love. To express love is to give. And so this Christmas, as you give presents, let what you give be an expression of your love for friends and family and neighbors. And as you receive presents this year, look beyond the gift to the giver and to their expression of love for you. Now here in Canada, Christmas, as we all know, is a national holiday. What you may not know is that this holiday is actually rooted in the Christian story. And the Christian story is centered around celebration, relationship, and yes, gift giving. So much so that Christians can't actually speak of a love that gives without speaking about God. And to speak about God, we must speak about Him as being the greatest giver of all and more, the one who is given the best gift ever. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that He gave the best gift of all. He gave us His beloved Son. God the Son became human without ceasing to be God. The invisible one became visible. The immaterial one became flesh and blood. The eternal one took on our mortality. And isn't that the way of love? Real love always seeks for some kind of concrete expression. There is no love apart from action. To give is to express love. To love is to give. And God gave us His Son, and the Son came expressing the Father's love by becoming what we are. If you want to know what God is like, you need to look to Jesus. In Jesus, we see the face of God. In Jesus, we hear the voice of God. Through Jesus, we come to discover God's heart for us and for the world. We know that Jesus wasn't born into wealth or power or privilege. His first cradle was a feeding trough for animals. And as a man, God experienced all the highs and lows of life that each of us experience as we make our way through this world. Jesus was no stranger to things like heartache or loss. He knew loneliness and rejection firsthand. And you might ask yourself, why would God do any of this? Why would God choose this kind of existence for Himself? The answer is rather simple. God did what He did because of love. You see, the impulse of God's love is ever moving outward, inviting everyone to come and be in relationship with Himself. You might be here tonight and you might feel alone in this world, without friends and family, but in God, we hear this invitation to come and to be a part of something that's so much bigger than yourself. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that He gave His Son. God loved you so much that He willingly, joyfully entered into our human existence so that you could be a part of His family. 1 John 3:16 points to Jesus as the final word concerning the love of God. This is what we read. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. at the centerpiece of God's plan to renew and restore and rescue the world was this one, Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross, making forgiveness possible for all of us that we might know the love of the Father in all of its abundance. Many years ago now, I surrendered to this love myself. And on that day, I invited Jesus to forgive my sins and lead my life. And I'm not being dramatic when I say it's the single greatest decision I've ever made in my life. It's more profoundly shaped me than anyone or any other thing. In Jesus, I've found a peace that sustains me in the middle of life's storms. In Jesus, I've found a joy that persists even in trouble. Through Jesus, I've been ushered into a living hope that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And my prayer for each of you this Christmas is that you would know this love, that this peace would permeate your life, and that this hope would be the heartbeat of this Christmas. May the Lord bless you. This time I'm going to invite Paul and the team to come back and sing a song for us.